365 days of the year, I think it's more than fitting and certainly just the rightful thing, I think, for all of us to do, to worship God, to express our thanks to the Lord. Don't we owe everything to Him tonight? But this night for me, just for years and years, I can go back. There was a certain time as a teenager that I remember it very well. There was a certain Christmas that everything seemed to connect. I don't know what it was, but the dots were connected in my heart. And it came right around the Christmas season. It came around a typical Christmas cantata in a much smaller church than we are. But I just remember that it was a very special Christmas for me. And I began to freely express my worship to God that night. And it was during that season. And I've never gone back on that. I love to worship Him in song or in any way that I can. But as we prepare our hearts for communion tonight, I'd like to share just two verses out of Ephesians 5, and they might be a little bit unusual for a Christmas Eve night such as this, but Ephesians 5, verse number 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This verse gives us two thoughts. One is the basis of our love, and it's really a call for us to love one another, to reach out in love, that we are to be people of love. And the basis of our love certainly is always in Scripture because God has loved us. We love because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. We're to love others because God has loved us, and we've received His love, and in turn, to give that to others. But as well, there's a model here, and Paul uses this model more than just in here in this verse, but several times, that we are to love as Christ loves the church and gave Himself up for the church as a fragrant offering. And we know that the great sacrifice, as Paul references here, that offering and sacrifice that Christ is for us and was, certainly it's at the cross. It's what we're about to celebrate as we take that represents His body and His blood tonight, and we celebrate the life that we have in Him. We know that's the greatest sacrifice of all. And yet I think sometimes in that, we may lose sight of the incredible sacrifice it was just for Him to come in the first place. The incarnation of Christ is an amazing sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul certainly tries to emphasize that for us, that though He was God, He considered equality with God not something to be grasped, but He released it. He let it go. And He came and took on a body as we have tonight and walked where we walk. And that incredible sacrifice from glory that Jesus would come and take on the form of flesh. As John opens up the powerful, and Steve alluded earlier, Luke is the favorite. That's my favorite this time of year, to read the gospel account of Jesus coming and His birth. But John gives us more of an esoteric, more of a philosophical approach to the incarnation, of course, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? What a sacrifice. The Word became flesh and lived among us. I heard a pastor tell once, they had served in three different locations in the world in missions, and he was saying that in their third location, which was in Central America, they just found themselves at an incredible point of sacrifice. They were living with another family. They were in another culture. They were having to learn so much now in this third culture for them, and learning a new language and sharing the household with a family that they had children as well as this missionary and his wife. And there were moments that the strain felt so great that they had come all the way there and sacrificed so much. And the wife, he said, would often say to me in those moments that we just felt ready, just about to give up. She would say, "Oh, honey, but let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that He was willing to come into our world, and we are here willing to go into their world." And that couple, in those occasions, they were beginning to grasp the concept of incarnation. One of the best three-point little ways that I've heard it described is the incarnation is, first of all, that Jesus was willing to come into our world. Secondly, that He retained fully who He was, for He was fully God and fully man. And so He, in that sense, still remained true to Himself, and yet He was willing to come into our world. And the third aspect, that that he was willing to be stretched, if you will, between two worlds. And I think that tension, as we read in the Gospels, we see very often as Jesus was so often to go aside from his disciples, pull away from the crowd, pray to his heavenly Father. I think it's the tension that Jesus felt, that he knew what glory was. He knew what he had left. And here he was walking in skin, if you will, just like you and I do. What an amazing sacrifice that he was willing to come into our world, that he was willing to be stretched between these two worlds and yet still remain and retain who he was. Why is it that we're to love like that tonight? Well, Paul says that is our model. And I think there's just three just simple reasons. One is because everyone needs to be understood. And one of the great aspects of the incarnation, according to Hebrews, is that because Jesus came and took on a body like you and I have tonight, he understands us. Have you ever felt like God is so far away from you and you think, oh, he never understands really where I'm at, little old me? But Hebrews says, based on the incarnation, we have a faithful high priest that understands us. The word there, he sympathizes with us. He feels what we feel. And Jesus, when you go back and read through his earthly life for 33 years upon this earth, leading to the point of the cross, he went through so many of the things that you and I do encounter, feelings that we feel, expressions that we may have one to the other. Jesus went through both the good and the difficult, the fun and the sorrows of life. Jesus can experience, he did experience all of that, so he understands us. I think a second reason is just because all of us here at one time or another, we need someone with skin on to come our way. Wherever we've been, I know all of us, there's been a moment in time where you just need someone there with you, with skin on. We've often heard that little story, and we lived it with our three girls through the years, but where a couple were asleep, middle of the night, and their little daughter came running in, and they could hear the pitter-pat of the feet, and she took that big leap into bed, and the mom is trying to console her and say, honey, you're going to be okay. You have nothing to fear. God is with you. And she said, I know, but I need God with skin on. She needed mom and dad. I think we all can relate to that. And that's one reason that we are to love one another in an incarnational way is because Christ, he put on our skin. And so we need to do that for others. There's the amazing story of the priest that went to one of the islands there of Hawaii, and he gave his life, literally gave his life, at a leper colony there. Later, he received sainthood in the Catholic Church. But his story is remarkable. And as he went there and gave his life, literally, dying at the age of 49, a Belgian priest by the name of Joseph Damien, Father Damien. And he went there, and the story goes that he initially went door to door and was not received very well. But along the course of his time there, one day he put his foot into a very hot, scalding hot pail of water. And he realized that he had no feelings whatsoever in that limb. And he later began to see the spots appear, and he realized that he had acquired leprosy like those lepers he was working among. For 16 years, he gave his life to them. And they said the impact that man had on their lives was so phenomenal, but especially once, if you will, he received their skin. It was as if there was a bonding between that priest and the people that he served, because they felt then he could really, truly understand them. And all of us need to know what it is to be understood and what it is to have someone with skin on sometimes. And the third thing tonight, as I close and we come to the communion table, is that we all need to be valued. And I realize in an audience like this, there's always someone that will come through the doors. And I pray that you are greeted by someone tonight. I pray you'll be greeted on your way out the door tonight, or at least at that moment that Pastor Don had us turn to one another. But you could be here tonight and you could feel so devalued by life. You could say, I've never felt valued by anyone in my life. And I'm here to tell you on this Christmas Eve, you can be assured that God values you, that he would be willing to send his son, and that the son would be willing to come and to take on skin, to take on the form of flesh, tells you how much God incredibly values you. And as we come to the elements of communion tonight, that Jesus would be willing to go to the cross and to give his very life as a sacrifice, that fragrant offering and sacrifice that Paul mentioned, it's because he values you.
He values every one of us in this room tonight. And that's why we need to, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, if you would, and close your eyes just for a moment? And in just a moment, I'm going to have the ushers come forward, and they're going to serve us the elements of communion. But on this Christmas Eve, there would be no greater night than for you. And I don't know what circumstances bring you here. You may be here with a friend, with a relative. You might have just simply come because of advertisement that you found out there was a service. Maybe you've attended these years and years ago, and yet you're back tonight, and it's been quite a while for you. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give you an opportunity tonight to receive the incarnational love of Jesus. See, without the sacrifice of him coming, we could not have the sacrifice of him going to the cross. And so as we prepare for these elements now, maybe in your heart, this could be a night that you would turn your heart to Christ and say, Jesus, thank you not only for coming into this earth and into our world and taking skin on as I have tonight, but thank you for going to the cross and for dying for me. If that's you tonight, I'm just going to ask you to just pray this prayer along with me, and then the ushers are going to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life, and we thank you, Lord, for the incredible sacrifice that you came and took on the form of flesh, and you came in a body like every one of us has here in this room tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you understand us, and I thank you, Lord, that you value us tonight, and you show that certainly in demonstrating your love. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus, we thank you for doing that. If there'd be anyone here, Lord, that maybe needs to come back to you tonight or for the first time in your life, even as two little children stood here and saying, what love God the Father has for us, that this would be the night, Lord, that they would turn and receive your love. Oh, I pray that they would. We thank you for the sacrifice not only of coming into our world, but we thank you for the sacrifice of giving your life on the cross as we're about to celebrate. So bless this, Lord, but we pray that you will first of all now forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, and cleanse us, and may we receive you, your life, and your light into our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.